listening to the voice of Montgomery County High School Basketball, 106.9 FM, 1150 AM, and WMSTRadio.com. Tonight's game is sponsored by BMC Contracting, City Cartage Company, Clark's Pump and Shop, Downtown Athletic Club, Dutch's Chevy Ford, The Family Wealth Group, Furniture World Superstore, Gateway Cycles, Hoffman Robertson Incorporated, Kentucky Petroleum Supply, Major Brands Tire and Automotive Center, your Scott Family McDonald's, Montgomery County Board of Education, Montgomery Tractor Sales, Moorhead Tourism, MSU Foundation, Harris Stockyards, People's Exchange Bank, Porter Group Insurance, Sterling Family Dental Care, Sterling Healthcare, Traditional Bank, Whitaker Pharmacy, Whitaker Bank Mount Sterling, and Windsor Care Center. Stay tuned. Tip-off is minutes away on 106.9 FM, 1150 AM, and WMSTRadio.com.
Good Saturday evening, everybody. Welcome to the MCHS Arena. Dan Manley along with Ivan Rawls as the Montgomery County Indians get ready to take on the Bluebirds of what I call Fort Thomas Highlands. They haven't been called Fort Thomas Highlands really for a number of years, but to me it's still Fort Thomas Highlands. Ivan, good evening. I can't get away from that.
It is. I mean, like I said, there's so many things over time that have changed. You know, we used to call Scott High Covington Scott and things of that nature just because of the area geographically they were in. But a lot of these schools have rebranded themselves, if you will, and to just make sure, you know, to re-identify themselves, I guess. You know, we used to say Ashland Paul Blazer or just Ashland, and they wanted to be called Paul Blazer at the time. But it is. Things have changed. But no doubt this is a school a rich athletic tradition. You know, we always talk about football, but they've had great basketball tradition as well in recent years.
I was going to run out and try to catch up real quick, maybe with both coaches. I don't know here coming up. The head coach Kevin Listerman, his father was an outstanding coach for a lot of years, and of course the Indians are coached by Jason Mays, and those two guys are at midcourt right now. And I was going to go out and try to catch up with the two of them. Maybe collectively right now, I don't know. Let's head out to Ivan Rawls right now.
Thanks, Dan. Here with the coaches in tonight's matchup, Coach Jason Mays and Coach Kevin Listerman. Guys, talk a little bit about this matchup. Out of region this late in the season, what are you hoping to get out of this matchup tonight?
Number one, I want to get out healthy. I think Coach Mays would say the same thing. No, it's a good game for us to bounce back. You know, we played a tough in-region opponent last night. And it's kind of we talked to our kids that's how the district and the region, you may lose a tough one on Friday and you got to bounce back on Monday or Tuesday with a tough regional opponent. And that's what we were looking for. And, you know, our young guys got some good minutes last night and just trying to continue to grow for the tournament.
Coach Mays, I know you talked about earlier in the season about how the ninth region is probably the toughest region in the state. I know you're going to expect a game fight out of this Bluebirds team tonight.
Yeah, I mean, fortunately and unfortunately, I have quite a bit of experience with, you know, Coach Listerman, Coach Steam, and they always shoot it well. They're always hard to guard because of their spacing. This team is no different, you know. So, you know, they got a lot. They're playing a lot of seniors right now, which those are hard teams to beat, especially when, you know, we're a young team, experience-wise. So we got our hands full here tonight. But you know, I like this game, home and home every other year. I like Cove Calf, and I told him, I said, we're going to try to piggyback another game up there, and we come to play you next year as well, because these games get you ready for, you know, March.
When you see Coach Listerman's team this year, what jumps off the page? What are you like, man, I like what they're doing there?
Well, their ability to shoot the ball, and then his son, Vinny. I told our guys today, Coach, I said, I ain't ever heard of a kid named Vinny that wasn't tough. Yeah, you know, if we had Vinny, we'd be 19-21 team, because he doesn't hurt them. He always makes sure the ball goes to the right place at the right time. And, you know, so I like their decision-making, their ability to shoot the ball in space, they just seem to know where each other's at, even without looking at them. Those teams are hard to beat, man.
Coach Listman, what would you say about the Indians when you've seen that?
Just their balance. You know, they got a lot of guys that are right there at 10, 11, 12 point mark, and that's a hard team to prepare for, especially coming when you play the night before. So you're just kind of rolling in. But, you know, Coach Mays always does a great job, and they're going to be well coached. They're going to run their stuff, and, you know, we're going to have to sit down and guard, I think it's going to be a great four-quarter battle tonight.
Thanks, both of you, and I'll let you get back to your team.
Thank you.
All right, that's Coach Jason Mays and Kevin Listerman, the opposing coaches in tonight's matchup, for this matchup between the Bluebirds of Hollins out of Fort Thomas, Kentucky. They've come on the road here tonight to the MCHS Arena to take on the homestanding Indians here in this matchup. We're going to take a two-minute timeout. We return. More Indians basketball right here on the Gateway Sports Network.
Furniture World Superstore stretches your tax refund. With so much in stock, in style, and on sale, you can get the furniture you want now. From sofas, sectionals, and motion furniture to dining sets, bedroom furniture, and the most comfortable mattresses, Furniture World has it all. Refresh, renew, get more with your tax refund. Now at Furniture World Superstore, 356 Pinecrest Drive in Moorhead, and on Maysville Road, Mount Sterling. Closed Sunday. See store for details.
Offering great vehicles at great prices. I'm John Greer at Dutchess Chevy Ford on the bypass of Mount Sterling.
At Dutchess Chevy Ford, right next to Walmart on the bypass of Mount Sterling.
And on the web at DutchessAuto.com.
If time is really money, why not let Clark's Pump and Shop help save you both? Every Clark's Pump and Shop is designed for convenience. If you're in a terrible hurry, just pay at the pump and get right back on the road. And if you're having a snack attack, come in for hot coffee, cold drinks, and snack items to satisfy your craving. Try the mobile app or website for exclusive deals and loyalty rewards. Clark's Pump and Shop, Moorhead, Winchester, Flemingsburg, West Liberty, and Vanceburg. Return, refresh, refuel. Clark's Pump and Shop.
Hi, I'm Alan Johnson, Market President at People's Exchange Bank in Mount Sterling. At People's Exchange Bank, we're more than just your bank. We're your neighbors, your friends, and your trusted financial partners. With our local decision-making process, you won't have to wait for approval from a distant corporate office. We're here to listen, understand, and provide solutions that work for you. Visit us in person or find us online at pebank.com.
People's Exchange Bank, your trusted banking partner. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Back here at the MCHS Arena, Ivan, boy, it makes you wish you were back in the barn tonight almost, doesn't it? I mean, you don't want to say, I mean, we've got this beautiful facility, but Saturday night, Kentucky's just finished playing, had a great crowd last night. Highland's coming a long way. It's going to be a small crowd tonight for this game. Single game, yeah. Just the varsity playing. So all kinds of reasons why we're going to have a fairly small crowd. But, again, you put this crowd up in the barn, and you'd have at least a lot of noise.
Well, and that was the thing. You know, assistant coach Larry Tapp with the Indians was over talking to him, and he's talking about last night. He said it was so loud in there. And I said, that's the thing you forget about what the barn does. From an environment standpoint, because we could hear it through our headset, and it was very intense. And then it was like Coach Tapp said, he said, you can't tell me that crowd didn't have an effect on that game last night, especially in some of those possessions during that game where there were huge difference makers because there was a momentum swings in that. And I thought it was key, you know, talking to Coach Mays this morning on Sports Extra, and he's talking about the start to the game last night where they got the lob dunk. And got that energy early in that ball game to try to gain some of that swagger that we saw out of Paris in that previous matchup. Paris got that momentum early, and they rode that wave all the way through that game. I thought last night, at least early on, it told Montgomery County, hey, we'll wake you up, let's go to play, because there was a moment where he had thought about not running that play to start the game off, but fortunately he did. They executed it, and I think it did have somewhat of effect in that environment there in the barn.
Highlands is 14-11 coming in here. You know the schedule they played.
Yeah.
They lost to Lloyd Memorial last night. And, yeah. Of course, that's a much smaller school, although Lloyd has been playing well.
Yeah.
But, you know, Coach Listerman comes from a basketball family. He grew up with basketball. It's in his blood. To have his son Vinny, who is the point guard on this team, is a sophomore, a guy who can score as well as be the point guard. But now they are playing tonight without Braden Mavis, a senior guard, who is out with an ankle injury. And of course, the Indians have had those problems. It looks like the Indians are, everybody's going to play tonight. So
And that's a huge difference. Is, you know, one, you just need to be healthy at this time of year, but you want to get a little bit of that chemistry. You know, would have loved to have seen Tyce Jarvis be available last night in that game against Paris, but
for him,
yeah. I mean, that environment, that atmosphere, and just having his skill set out there on the floor, because he is going to be one of those players heavily relied upon if the Indians are to make a long, successful run come postseason play.
All right, the teams are back now, and we'll be back. We'll have the pregame activities, introduction of starting lineups, and go over to Brandon Elliott, our public address announcer, right after we step out 90 seconds here on the Gateway Sports Network.
The Porter Group is a different kind of insurance agency. We do more than just Medicare. When was the last time you had your life insurance reviewed? Do you have the new kind of life insurance? We will review your whole life, term life, final expense, and universal life policies. We can help you with them all. Call us at 606-780-1387 for a free, no-obligation review. That's 606-780-1387.
Do you make quick decisions, jump in and see what happens, or do you think long and hard about that decision and the implications to your future?
Marriage, new career, kids, new house, or even retirement. You want to make the best decision. And most everyone hopes to retire only once.
At Family Wealth Group, we are here to help.
We are trained, licensed professionals who know the questions to ask to help get you started and keep you on the path to your ideal retirement.
Our teams work together with you to ensure you know your options and make the right choice for your future.
To start your search, attend an event or set up an appointment with one of our financial advisors. Go to thefamilywealthgroup.com or call us at 859-309-0349. With offices in Lexington, Georgetown, Harrodsburg, London, or Somerset, we are here to help.
Family Wealth Group is an independent financial services firm and uses a variety of different strategies. Investments are offered through FWG Investments, LLC, and this advertisement is for informational purposes only and not intended to address any specific investment objectives.
Just had a come by and say that they thought they could have scored against Kentucky. The only thing I can say about that is, yeah, if you're 7 feet tall. I mean, that's to have those three big guys.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, Gonzaga looked pretty good. But let's go right now to this game and to our public address announcer.
Remove your caps for the playing of our national anthem.
Get our starting lineups.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the arena on the campus of Montgomery County High School for tonight's KHSAA boys basketball action featuring the visiting team on the scoreboard, the Bluebirds of Highlands High School. And your Montgomery County Indians. Let's meet your starting lineups. First for the Bluebirds, at guard, a 5'11 sophomore, number 3, Vincent Listerman. At forward, a 6'3 sophomore, number 4, Nathan Rickard. At guard, a 5'9 senior, number 11, Lincoln Hicks. At guard, a 6'3 junior, number 13, Owen Yelton. And at guard, a 6'3 senior, number 23, Nathan Vinson. The Bluebirds are coached by head coach Kevin Listerman.
Bluebirds are in black uniforms, blue numerals, and white trim. I don't really like those uniforms very much, but...
And now the starting lineup for your Montgomery County Indians. And forward, a 6'5 freshman, number 1, Ty Jarvis. And forward, a 6'6 sophomore, number 3, Lou Fawns. And guard, a 5'10 senior, number 4, Ethan Todd. And guard, a 6'2 senior, number 11, Brecken Decker. And at guard, a 6'6 sophomore, number 14, Dawson Gentry. Your Indians are coached by head coach Jason Mays.
Indians dressed in white, red numerals, trimmed in blue.
Yeah, I think the Highlands with these uniforms, they're trying to do like Duke did a few years ago when they came out with those black uniforms and kind of made that kind of a trendy kind of thing a few years back.
Blue numerals on the black uniforms and trimmed in white. Indians will move from left to right on your dial this first half of play. Fawns into jump center. The tip, though, is slapped back and it's controlled. Got into the hands of Benny Listerman, and the sophomore brings it across the timeline. The Indians opening up man-to-man tonight. Of course, they zoned Paris last night. Back to a man-to-man to start tonight, and Jarvis back in the lineup. Right now, there's a bad pass, but it's down in the baseline. It's picked up down there by Hicks. Dribbles back out front. Close the pass over in the right corner to Listerman. He wants to move on Dunn and still keeps the dribble. Sends it to the left baseline. Jarvis guarding Rickard and now down the baseline. The ball in the hands of Yelton. And they work and work and work and then miss the driving layup in there. Listerman couldn't get it down and the rebound comes to Montgomery County. Decker brings it across the timeline. The Indians have the ball. And Highlands, hey, man-to-man. And they'll be tough, I guarantee you. They will get up on you. Here's Fawns, outside. He's being defended by Vincent. Has a little height advantage there. Fawns out of the left corner for a three. Leaves it short. Rebound grabbed by Rickard. And each team has had a shot with no points. Driving for the basket, outside. There's a three from the left corner. That's put up no good by Yelton. Rebounded by Jarvis. Again, playing on that ankle sprain, but it looks really good. It looks like he has overcome. And now Decker down the side. They try to go to him and threw it away. Running the other way. Listerman comes down, stops, puts it up. No good. Under pressure. Dunn with a rebound. Now Decker, a three right side. Good. In transition, Brecken Decker picking up where he left off last night. He had a great fourth quarter. He was enabled the Indians to win it rather easily. Down inside, there's a shot put up and in a nice move. Moving, it just kept on the move, and Nathan Vinson, 6'3 senior, finally got it in. And it's 3-2. Highlands picking up all over the floor. Dunn gets it, though, quickly down. Sends it to Jarvis. His three off the left wing. Good. Tyce Jarvis stepping into a three, and the Indians have a 6-2 lead on back-to-back three-pointers. And we played a little over 2 minutes. With the ball is Vinson out on the perimeter, guarded by Fawns. Goes cross-court, and then gets it right back. Vinson. He dribbles right, try to go to the right side. Got a step on Fawns, but missed the shot. But the rebound, we get a foul, and that's going to be on Jarvis, I would think. And it'll be a common foul. Shot was missed, and then Rickard got the rebound. He had a hand in his back, and that belonged to Jarvis, so...
And that was the one thing that Coach Mays talked about this morning, Dan, was about, you know, seeking and finding guys to make a contact on rebounds.
Bounce pass comes in low into the game now is Dominic Gregory, and the ball is knocked out of bounds by Jarvis. Gregory's a 5'10 junior who has come in, and he's come in for Listerman. Here we go. Inbounding, side front court. A little trouble getting it in, Finally, they throw way back deep in the backcourt to Vincent's, and now it looks like he is going to be the guy who will handle the ball. Vincent, we got an illegal screen. Moving pick set out front by Nathan Rickard, and that was made too obvious a little bit from Rickard. He tried to pick pawns off so that his teammate could go to the basket.
He had made enough contact to influence the play, but then he tried to get more contact, yeah. And that's what got him.
Gregory is going to come down, and he's going to guard Dunn. Dunn's going to bring it across the timeline. Dunn, a little crossover dribble, goes left. And now Decker. Decker takes it down toward the paint, goes up off the glass, missed the shot.
Oh, wow.
Gets the ball back and puts it in.
Oh, he stayed right with it.
And it's 8-2, and Decker with 5 points early. We played 3 minutes of this game. Indians driving right down the lane and laying it up and in.
Wow.
That was Vincent, who has his second field goal, and it's 8-4. Long pass down to Jarvis. Out of the perimeter, Dunn takes it. Gregory right there with it. Indians run their little shuffle out front. Little weave. Gregory goes down the left side of the lane, gets double teamed. Back to Jarvis, an open three is no good. And the rebound is picked up by Hicks down the baseline. 4.5 to go, first quarter. Driving in, Gregory. He gets cut off. Hands it on the left side to Vincent, driving on Fawns. And he bounces a little pass off inside, but not a good pass. But now they get it back out on the perimeter. Moving to the lane, a 14-foot jumper is put up good. And that was number four, wasn't it?
Yeah,
that was Rickard.
Yeah.
Rickard makes it an 8-6 game. Back-to-back field goals for the Bluebirds. Now their bench is... you should not allow players to put hands on like that right in front of us. Going for the basket, putting it up and in is Jarvis. I mean, Dunn had, the defender, hands all over him. I mean, he left fingerprints through the jersey. 3:40 to play here in the opening quarter. 10-6 Tribe. Driving in, shot up off the glass, and he goes in for Vincent, and he's got six of his team's 8 points. 10-8. Bond's having trouble.
Vincent looks very confident right now and early on the drive.
There's a double team, and that's, again, stopping his progression. Dunn goes right through it, goes down, missed the driving layup. Rickard with the rebound. And driving back the other way, and we're going to get a blocking foul that's going to go against Decker, and there will be two shots coming.
Right now you're seeing both teams trying to go a little north and south, Dan, trying to compromise the defense. You got to keep them on their heels.
Well, what you're seeing is one team that plays in Northern Kentucky, and they're used to that hands-on defense.
Yeah.
The Indians don't play that. And when you watch it, there's a free throw by Dominic Gregory that's up and no good. He'll have another one coming, and now we have substitutes coming in. Listerman is back in, and Finn Bolden, F-I-N-N, 5'11", sophomore, is in the game. Second free throw is up, and it's no good. Fawns picks off the rebound, and he'll bring it down himself. Hands it off to Dunn, who looks back to Coach Mays. He'll back up on the dribble. And now driving in on the right. Those are fouls, Ivan. I mean, here's Fawns, a three-point shot that's no good. And here's Gregory through. I tell you, if the officiating, is going to be like this, the Indians are in for a long night, I believe, before it's over. Now Gentry trying to do the same thing with their little hands on and going for the basket on the left side. The kid who just checked in, Ben Bolden, lays it up and in. We are tied at 10 apiece. So the Indians led 8-2. Now it's 10 apiece. Pass left side, Jarvis, and now Decker. Over to Dunn it goes. Here's Dunn behind the screen, goes to the bucket, spins, goes up from 8 feet, missed the shot. Rebound taken down by Fawns. Out to Gentry. His jump shot is no good. And the rebound gathered in by Listerman. Indians struggling, and now down the floor. Ball's lost out of bounds. It'll be played by Montgomery County. They turn it over, trying to get it down the baseline, and Indians will have the ball. Here is Rallett coming in.
You can tell
for Jarvis.
Just since Gregory came in the game, this defense for Hollins has gotten a lot more physical.
There is a three good off the right side by Gentry. And the Indians go back ahead, 13-10. Gentry's first points of the game. Gregory, left of the key, being guarded by Decker. With the ball is Bolden, gives it up. Benson against Fawns, wants to take him. Spins, weaves, can't get a shot away this time. Gives it back to Gregory, drives, spins, goes up, lays it up, no good. Rebound by Gentry, back the other way in a hurry. Going in is Fawns, and he goes up, and he missed the layup. I thought he got hit going in, maybe. Rebound by back the other way, and there's a lob in, and the shot is missed. Decker took a shot in the nose. I think he's. I hope he's okay. He may be bleeding. I don't know. Yeah, he's going to go. He's Decker's going to get the foul call, and that's his second, and he's going to be on the sidelines. And you know why that happened? It happened all because they called foul down here where Fawns goes in and gets hit in the air. You know, it's Saturday night, and everybody would like to get out of here at a decent time, but you got to call fouls.
And we're seeing right now that, you know, like I said, this game is taking a more physical tone and nature. And this is where the players are going to have to adjust, because you don't see either coach really right now complaining about the fouls that are being called or not being called. And so, you know.
Well, they're not being called. Yeah, there have only been two fouls so far.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But, yeah.
You know, just to kind of give you, put in context from a coaching standpoint, you know, when they feel like there's a discrepancy in the way that the style of play is happening, you'll see them start getting into the ear of the official. So far, they haven't made any complaints about it, because if they feel like they're getting away with a little bit and the other team's getting away with it, they're not going to say anything.
I got to go the other way. I don't think the Indians are getting away with anything, because the Indians do not play hands-on.
That's true.
But physical ball is the only thing I'm saying.
But I'm saying, but you know, Coach Mays is not—he's not arguing. If he felt like, hey.
Well, he knows his team needs probably this. But now Decker's down the end of the bench with his nose bloodied. He's out. Jarvis is back in. And they're still getting blood off the floor.
But, yeah, a lot of, you know, you talk about, you know, style of play in Northern Kentucky. Those are usually big physical teams a lot. You know, we saw it out of Holy Cross. You know, they're going to put hands on you to try to influence you with their on their defensive side of the ball.
A lefty, Nathan Vincent, puts a free throw up and in. Now he can cut the lead back to a point. That's his seventh point already. Nathan Vincent's 6'3" senior. A lefty, he's strong, and the free throw is good again. And it's 13-12, and now we get another substitution. And I think one of the things that we're seeing right now, Coach Lister is saying, hey, we're going to wear him out. Okay. We are going to substitute a lot.
We're going to play the long game.
Here's Dunn. They're going to try to come at him with a double team. Passes down, and Jarvis down to Fawns. Fawns drives the baseline, lost it out of bounds. Minute 13 to play here in the opening quarter. The Indians with a 13-12 lead. Here's Listerman with the ball against Dunn. Driving right across the key is Ebert, who's into the game. Vincent goes inside, whips a pass, and threw it out of bounds.
It's some heat on that one.
You know, I'm going to talk officiating again here. Doesn't mean anything to hear. Ivan, there were a couple of times when Gonzaga today in the lane, 7-8 seconds. Boy, and if I'm 7 feet and I get to stand in the lane, isn't that good?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to beat.
It's hard to beat that. I, you know, we did have a 3 second call last night in our game. As I said, it's the first time I've seen one. Here's Dunn with a screen, goes inside, and then, and he's going to be called for a charge running over top of Lincoln Hicks, and Dunn has his first foul. So Decker's got two of the Indians, four. And see, right now, one foul called so far on Highlands.
Yeah.
It feeds what they're doing. You know, if they say, hey, if we can do this, and we're not going to be in foul trouble, well, let's just keep right on. But, again.
Woo, got a hold here.
Here's a foul on Fawns. And that'll give free throws to Highlands with 26 seconds to go in the quarter. And it's going to be Vincent, who just made two, and he can hit double figures in the first quarter in a 13-12 game, and he puts it up and it rolls off. He'll have one more. We've got to, again, Ebert's been in the game. We haven't seen Kirst yet, have we?
No, I don't.
He's not been in yet. Here is the second free throw, and it's in and out. And the rebound by Jarvis. And he had a player right on his back when he got it. Jarvis is going to go all the way, goes down, and he gets fouled, and that's going to be on Vincent, who just reached in and grabbed his arm. And two shots are coming for Tyce Jarvis, who really was aggressive, Ivan. He decided early on, I'm going to take this ball to the rim.
And that's where, you know, one of the qualities in his game is to be able to rebound and go end to end.
Missed the free throw. Now coming back in is Rickard. He'll replace Finn Bolden. Jarvis' second free throw is no good. Fawn steps the rebound over. Battle Jarvis is the guy who ends up with it again. Down the baseline, flips it in on the left baseline. So he ends up getting 2 points. Just not the way it looked like. Dane Clooney waiting to check in, but he won't get in this quarter. 6 seconds to go. Vince is going to drive on Fawns and gets in there and puts it up and in with the left hand. And that's the end of the quarter. Vincent does have 10 points in the first quarter. His team has 14. The Indians have a 15-10 lead, and we'll be back in just 1 minute.
Do you make quick decisions, jump in and see what happens, or do you think long and hard about that decision and the implications to your future?
Marriage, new career, kids, new house, or even retirement. You want to make the best decision, and most everyone hopes to retire only once.
At Family Wealth Group, we are here to help.
We are trained, licensed professionals who know the questions to ask to help get you started and keep you on the path to your ideal retirement.
Our teams work together with you to ensure you know your options and make the right choice for your future.
To start your search, attend an event or set up an appointment with one of our financial advisors. Go to thefamilywealthgroup.com or call us at 859-309-0349. With offices in Lexington, Georgetown, Harrodsburg, London, or Somerset, we are here to help.
Family Wealth Group is an independent financial services firm and uses a variety of different strategies. Investments are offered through FWG Investments, LLC, and this advertisement is for informational purposes only and not intended to address any specific investment objectives.
I never thought the Indians might want to go box and one.
Yeah, they need to do something.
Now Vincent, because he was 4 for 4 from the field, 2 of 4 from the line, 10 points there in that first quarter.
He's strong built. He's very aggressive. He's really kind of a tweener. You know, I'm sure that they list him as a guard, but he kind of reminds me of maybe a little smaller version of Jolly that played for Campbell County a few years back. He's just a tough guard with his stature and athleticism.
And he just knocked the ball away on the inbound and he goes under. He jammed
it. My goodness. I didn't know he had that type of elevation.
Well, he didn't just jam it. He looked back at Fawns as if to say, try some of that. He had that look on his face. He's got a dozen. And the lead belongs to the Bluebirds. Here's Fawns outside, hands to Rallet. Now Jarvis. Gentry over in the right wing, looking. Wants to go into Fawns, but can't. Now they float it into Fawns, who gets the ball. Goes up off the glass and flips it in. That's a good comeback. Fawns, he wanted that ball. He wanted to come right back, and now it's a throwaway right in front of us.
Yeah, hopefully
the Indians get the ball right back.
That might be a turning point in this ball game to see Luke Fawns come back and try to match that. Just saying, hey, it's not going to be that easy tonight for you, Mr. Benson. I liked it. I like that challenge of the attitude there.
Decker's back behind the bench. I don't know. We may not see him again. I mean, they're trying to get him. Jarvis is out now as Clooney is in. Here is Dunn. Goes to Gentry. Gentry gets his screen. Gentry's open at 3, top of the key, and it bounces off there. And the rebound is claimed by Rickard. Dawson got a good look. A 3 on the other end is no good. Gentry with the rebound off of that miss by Hicks. And there's Dunn, a 3 out of the left corner that's nowhere close. And the rebound taken by Benson. And now Benson's going to go through the lane. Sends it in the left corner. A 3 is up and no good. Fawns with a rebound off that miss again by Hicks. And the Indians have it. Gentry is going to drive for the basket. Sends it left corner. Clooney for a 3. Please go. It doesn't go. Rebound is tipped out. Clooney, though, comes back, gets a rebound at the Fawns. His three is in and out, and the rebound by Listerman. The three's not. Indians are 0 for 5, and going down, we get a whistle, and they're going to count the basket. Fawns call for goaltending as Hicks went up, and it's 18 to 17. Back to the lead goes for Thomas Highlands, the third lead change we've had here.
We're playing this game above the rim tonight a little bit. Both teams are defensively and offensively.
Here's the entry pass to Dunn, and they fouled him, but again, he's double-teamed. He's in trouble. They send it down to Clutie. He gets it in the offensive end. Fawns back to Dunn. Dunn starts in. Here is Rowland and gives back out to Gentry. 6 minutes to play in the first half. Indians down by a point. High screen by Fawns. Dunn driving. Sends it over to Clutie. Back to Fawns. Fawns wants to drive. Hands it back to Dunn. He drives into the lane. 15-footer good, and he's fouled. Count the basket. Dunn went up right off the free throw line. Knocked down the jumper. The foul was on number 14. I think they're trying to figure it out.
Yeah, they caught it on three. But it should have been 14. Ebert was the one right there to hit him on the elbow.
Yeah.
They changed it, yeah.
Yeah, they're going to change it.
Yeah, it was like, yeah.
Ebert gets the foul call. Dunn's first points of the night. And now Indians back in the lead, 19-18. Dunn with a free throw. And the shot is up and good. Dunn with his first points, and the Indians lead it 20-18. 5:45 to go. Vincent's now guarded by Gentry. Goes inside, and we get a whistle. Now they've got, I guarantee you, Gentry got called for a foul right there. And there has been more contact against Dunn 20 times in 10 minutes than had been called, which is okay. But, boy, going for the basket, a little jump shot's put up no good. Dunn, the rebound off that miss by Rickard. Running down, Dunn stops. Now he dribbles through the lane, hands it to Fawns, an open look at a three, good. Fawns with five in this quarter, five in the game, 23-18, the Indians. Biggest lead was six. Right corner, Clutie gave the baseline away a little bit, but now the pass in the left side, there's a three that's good by Hicks. Hicks missed a pair of threes. Now he's come back to score 5 points. The little guy makes it 23-21. Fawns gives it up to Clutie. Clutie gets it knocked away but recovers and out loose on the floor. Call a foul, please. Yeah. They have called a foul on Lincoln Hicks. And now Willoughby's going to come in for Montgomery County. And he's going to come for Rowlett. Indians with the ball. 4:57 to go in the first half. Here's Dunn taking the pass and getting back into the game. Guarding him is Gregory. Sends it down to Clutie. Clutie looks. Hands it off to Gentry. Gentry down the lane. Flips it up and it doesn't go. I thought he got bumped pretty hard. Rickard with the rebound. Back the other way. Rickard hands it off. There's a three-point shot that is in and out. Fawns rebounds the miss by Ebert. Fawns brings it down himself. He's still working with it. Hands it off. Gentry couldn't get the shot away, so he'll hold up and give it to Dunn.
Love to see Fawns right here command to be involved here.
Under 4.5 minutes to go. Here left corner is Willoughby. Drives for the basket, goes all the way in, banks it in on the left side.
He paced himself right there, Matt.
Great he job. Was always looking to pass, but they kept giving him a little daylight, so he stayed right there. Here is driving in on the left side. Rickard goes up against Fawns, missed it, gets his own rebound, puts it back up, no good. Vincent goes in, gets the rebound, so they've still got it. And there's a three that's put up, no good. And the deep rebound comes to Gregory. And Vincent missed a three, and Fawns probably finally gets the rebound. Wow.
Oh, and that, now they lose the ball again. To Montgomery County. And then Vincent goes down after slipping. So really crazy turn of events. It ended up being Montgomery County's ball. But Gentry had the ball, lost it to Vincent, and Vincent just lost his footing there. You hope that there's not any.
You hope nobody. When Coach Listerman said, I hope we get out of this game healthy.
Yeah.
Hey.
<That's right>. It's been intense.
We've already had one out, and the Decker's behind the bench over there. 3:30 to play here in the first half. Here's Dunn. Dunn goes to Jarvis, hands it off to Willoughby, and now Gentry. Gentry, Fawns. Fawns is going to fire a three. Good. He wanted the ball. He got it, and he made it. 28-21. Indians by seven now. Driving through on Willoughby. Short jumper up the lane is no good. Willoughby comes up with a rebound after that missed shot by Yelton. Dunn comes down. Dunn over to Fawns. Fawns got hacked on the arm. Down to Jarvis. 17-foot jumper. Good.
Great pass by Fawns to Jarvis. Jarvis knocking it down.
30-21, and Highlands is going to take a timeout. 2:52 to go. And the Indians with a 9-point lead, and we will be back in 1 minute here on the Gateway Sports Network.
If you don't know about the affordable quality health care services being offered at Sterling Healthcare, take a moment and find out why we're continuing to grow in Mount Sterling and surrounding areas. You can find us online at sterlinghealthky.org or give us a call at 859-404-7686 or stop in and see us at one of our clinics in Montgomery, Bath, Clark, Nicholas, or Powell counties. I can promise you'll be glad you did. Sterling Healthcare. We're here for your family.
Downtown Athletic Club is the premier athletic facility in the Gateway area. Downtown Athletic Club has new modern equipment, sauna, and steam room, along with one of the area's finest saltwater pools. There is a membership package that is perfect for you or your family. Stop in and see it for yourself and find out why Downtown Athletic Club is the premier athletic facility in the heart of downtown Mount Sterling.
Now the Indians have opened up a 9-point lead, but this is going to be a fight to the finish.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, this Highland team, you know they're not going away. I mean, you've seen their aggressiveness, and they're trying, as you mentioned early in that first period, they're playing the long game. They're going to try to wear on you. The way they play defense, they're going to try to play on the mental and the physical aspect of this game against Montgomery County.
And right now we've got Indians. Fawns getting a breather right now. There's moving in as Vincent, who missed the shot, gets his own rebound, gets his shot blocked. And let's see who they call his foul on. Let's call his foul on Jarvis. Boy, that's Jarvis's second. Vincent almost, the way he plays, he's going to force teams to foul him.
He's very aggressive, very confident. You know, we saw Luke Fawns guarding him earlier. That time it was Gentry the last two times since he's been on him. And he's approached both of them the same way. I'm going to use my size and strength against you.
So Jarvis with two fouls leaves the game. And Fawns is back in. And the free throw, both of them made. 14 points for Vincent of his team's 23. It is with a 7-point lead, 2.5 to go in this first half as Fawns this time brings it down. Luke, right of the key, goes in, spins, weaves, goes to Gentry in the left corner, couldn't get a shot. Now Willoughby hands out to Dunn. Dunn is working out there against Hicks. Hicks gets right up on him. He avoids the 5-second count, and now Fawns drives right baseline, gets cut off, goes in, and he gets fouled by two players. Pick your poison, and Vincent's is one of them, but they call a foul on Rickard, and that'll be his second. That would have been Vincent's second if they'd gone that way. Fawns will shoot a pair. Fawns with 8 points all in this second quarter, 2:13 to play. Before halftime, the free throw is up, and it bounces off.
I thought that might caught the front lip and go back in, but it never found its way there.
Fawns. Couple of dribbles and this free throw, and it lipped out too. He had a lot of metal on it. Didn't go. Rebound by Vincent's, and Highlands can get closer. Down by seven. Vincent's wants to drive on Gentry. Goes in on the left side. Puts it in. Counted, and the foul is on Gentry.
Well,
and that's Gentry's second.
And the floor just opened up right there, Dan. As soon as it did, Vincent recognized it and just went strong left there. against Gentry. Was trying to give him a little cushion, but it just goes to show he's got deceptive quickness with the ball in his hands, as Vincent.
He's got 16 of his team's 25 points, going for 17, and he makes it. And the three-point play gives us a four-point game, 30-26, 2:02 to go. Listerman's back in the game. Here's Fawns. Fawns is going to come dribbling down, and he's guarded this time by Yelton. Right corner. There is Rallet. Here is Dunn with it. Almost threw it away. Dunn driving, gives to Fawns. He fires a three left wing. That's no good. Long rebound out to Listerman. Runs it down and throws it away. 6 turnovers in the first half on Highlands, 4 on the Indians. That's a good sign.
Yeah,
they only turn it over 4 times against this pressure.
The way this game is being played so far.
And again, Willoughby's been in there a long time. Clutie's getting ready to come back in. Decker has not been available since he busted his nose. There's Dunn, a 3 outside, left it short. It was online. Fawns saves the rebound in to Willoughby, who dumps it back out. Indians saved a possession there with great hustle. Minute 24 to go. Fawns, high post. He had a player holding him from behind that time, folks. Here is Willoughby. Starts in on the dribble on the left baseline.
So he carried the ball.
And he carried the ball. Wow. I'm telling you, Fawns, you couldn't see it, Ivan. You were blocked out. Another player had it. And his hands wrapped around his waist right here. Shoo.
See, if they try to get isolation this time, Dunn's going to try to take the challenge of guarding Benson.
Here is Benson wanting to take him in. Benson gets by him and goes in. And we're going to get a foul call.
Wow.
Hey, call those all you want if you're going to call them on both ends, folks. But right now, the fouls are 9-5. And let me tell you, the Indians have 4 players with 2 fouls. And in this game, without question, if you could go back and watch the video, I guarantee you'd say Highlands has committed 3 times the number of fouls the Indians have.
And that time, it looked like, you know, what Vincent was able to do is use that high pick there. And he looked a little bit better with the ball in his hands than even he has the most part of this game.
30-27. Clutie down to Rallet, right corner. Couldn't pull the trigger on the 3. Here's Dunn behind the screen. Dunn drives all the way, puts it up off the glass, no good. Fawns a rebound back up and in.
Good follow by Fawns there.
32-27. Listerman the other way. Here's the ball in the hands of Hicks. Little guy out front. Now Vincent takes it. If the floor opens up, he'll go to the basket. If it doesn't open up, he'll go to the basket. So now he passes off. Driving the baseline, right side. Shot is put up no good and foul on Clutie. That'll send Listerman to the line for 2 shots.
His first team and along for Highlands
Listerman puts the free throw up and it spins out. He's not scored yet in the game. Another one coming. Checking back in is we've got Yelton in. Second free throw is no good. The rebound out in the lane is gathered in by Rallet, and they call a foul on Listerman, who says, "Really?" So the Indians have the ball with 23.8 seconds to go. Possession arrow rests with Highlands to begin the second half. Fawns gets it into Dunn. Dunn coming on the dribble. They'll try to double him if they can. Unable to do it. Here's Dunn. Top of the key. Goes up from the free throw line, and he left it way short.
I was getting ready to say, an early shot there you didn't want. You had the lead. You want to make sure you get the last possession, that you get an excellent look at the basket. What a great decision.
Here is Vincent. You think he might take this last shot out?
Yeah, he's going to make the play.
Spins right, goes up in the lane, and missed the shot. And Clutie with a rebound down. And Gentry, a 3 that doesn't go. And the first half has come to an end. One thing that you like about what happened in that last possession, they made Vincent's go to his right.
Yeah.
And he didn't feel as comfortable there, you could tell. But 32-27 here at halftime. The Indians with a five-point advantage. Don't go away. It's going to be a dandy, I believe. We'll return for a halftime scoring and comments coming up in a couple of minutes.
Are you looking for a job where you can make a terrific income, have a great insurance plan, 401k retirement plan, paid vacations, incentive bonuses? That job could be waiting for you now at City Cartage Company in Mount Sterling. If you think that sounds good, wait till you hear this. They are currently offering a $3,000 sign-on bonus. City Cartage Company, they're always looking for quality employees, and they're ready to reward you with all those great incentives and more. Stop in and apply at City Cartage Company in the Midland Trail Industrial Park, or give them a call, 498-4490.
Dominate a venture with the entire crew aboard the Terex KRX 4 1000 Sport Side-by-Side, the strongest and most capable four-passenger Terex yet. Take on a wide range of tough terrain, armed with the powerful 999cc engine and advanced suspension technology. Take it all on with confidence and experience the adventure of a lifetime in the four-passenger Kawasaki Terex KX4 1000. Available at Gateway Cycles Mount Sterling, GatewayCycles.com.
His name is Kelly Johnson. He's a dentist in Mount Sterling, and his reputation is simple. He offers quality care at affordable prices, and you get it from a dentist whose staff truly cares about their patients. The Sterling Family Dental Care Center is located at 100 East High Street in Mount Sterling. Make sure your children have quality dental health care. It'll put your mind at ease. Dr. Johnson can help every member of your family, and when it comes to cosmetic dentistry, you'll get the latest from Sterling Family Dental Care Center, 100 East High Street, Mount Sterling.
Pros know that there's a right tire for every job, like the new Mastercraft Courser Trail Truck and SUV tire. With biting grooves that lock into snow to improve handling in winter conditions, and innovative tread compounding for rugged durability, the Mastercraft Courser Trail has everything you'd expect from a premium tire, except the price. Learn more at MastercraftTires.com. Mastercraft Tires, the professional's choice, available at Major Brands Tire and Automotive Center, Tom's Drive, Moorhead, and Wilmot Drive, Mount Sterling.
Here at halftime, Montgomery County owning a 32-27 lead. We've had four lead changes, but most of that half, I mean, the Indians had the lead. And the Indians are getting better, Ivan. I mean, for the fans who maybe came out earlier,
yeah.
This is a tougher team. Again, they're playing. I mean, Willoughby came in and gave good minutes. They're able. Clutie is, he's struggling. He can't make a shot, but he's playing well.
And that's what you got to do. You got to do the other things.
That's right.
When you're not contributing offensively, can you do those other things? And in talking to those two individuals today about being ready when your number's called, and when your number's called, just do whatever you can to help the team be successful. But again, talking to Larry Tapp before this game, he said, "I think our schedule's made us better." You know, and those of us that have seen them over the course of the season, you know, part of the problem is just being healthy, having the consistency.
Just like tonight, not having Decker available.
Yeah, yeah. When you don't have that consistency of that nucleus of the group together always, there's always going to be disruption. And, you know, that grit, that being able to grind and get through difficult situations. Like last night, Montgomery County got that lead late. You say, now, can they hold on to that lead? Can they make the decisions to hold on to that lead? And, you know, we just had a kind of a microcosm of that here at the end of this half. You had the ball 20 seconds on the clock. You didn't have the possession there on your favorite quarter break. Can you make the right decisions there? Not saying you can't take a shot early, but it needs to be a good quality shot. The shot that Montgomery County have taken came short, gave Hollins the ball back. They would have had a chance really in two possessions to tie this ball game back up when you look at getting the last shot of this quarter and the first shot of the next quarter. So it's those types of things. And I think you now that they understand how they
and
have
we to saw play. Coach Mays talking with Ethan Dunn, I think.
So now you learn
probably about that.
How you have to play. Now the next thing is the maturation of those situational things that you know you work on in practice every day and talk about, but it's about applying it in real life scenarios.
Individual scoring in the first half. Hey, Highlands got 27 points. 18 of those belong to 6'3 senior Nathan Vincent's. Has 18 points and 4 rebounds. He was 6 of 9 from the field, and he was 6 of 9 from the free throw line to get his 18 points. put up only one three, and that was no good. Hey, the Indians can't keep him shooting threes, I guarantee you. He's going to take the ball to the glass as often as he can. Lincoln Hicks with 5 points, and then two apiece for Nathan Rickard and Finn Bolden off the bench. Dominic Gregory didn't score. Benny Listerman didn't score. Owen Yelton didn't score. Owen Ebert didn't score. When you get two-thirds of your points from one player, I thought a key play in this game, Ivan, I don't know. Again, I know I'm doing too much officiating tonight, but I just think it's important, if you're not here watching the game, that you understand the way this game is being played, and it is hands-on defense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I really thought Vinson's was the guy who committed the foul down here would have been his second. Mm-hmm. The Indians have Dunn and Jarvis and Gentry and Decker, who's out with an injury now.
Yeah.
But all those guys with two fouls, and they had a sit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Boy, if Vinson's goes out of this game for any extended period of time, if they didn't take him out of the game,
yeah,
complexion really changes, and I don't want to not see him play. He's fun to watch, but it's different.
And here's what, you know, and probably the last 20, 25 years of watching how basketball has kind of changed, really. Usually the team that's the more aggressive, and that's why it's coached that way a lot of times anymore, is going to get the big. That's why strength and conditioning has been a big thing. I know that's why it's been huge since Coach Mays took over the job here. First thing he did was get them on that training regimen because he wants to play man defense, and he feels like playing man defense allows you to do some of those things, being aggressive. And because of that, you know, this Montgomery County team had to play the type of schedule they had to play, and I think now they're understanding that. And hopefully, again, it'll pay dividends, because it's just hard to flip a switch and say, hey, we're going to be physical tonight when we've never really had to play that way. And, you know, like last year, we played a lot of zone. They didn't play any man. You know, and so now when you're forced to play man and you can't get up on players, you know, due to their strength or their quickness, it changes that complexion. Makes it a little bit easier for the officials to give the benefit to the team, just a more aggressive team.
For Montgomery County, Luke Fuller with 10 points all in the second quarter. 9 for Tyce Jarvis, had 7 of those in the first quarter. 5 for Brecken Decker, and of course he didn't play in the second quarter, went out with that injury. And 3 apiece for Ethan Dunn and Dawson Gentry. And 2 for Matt Willoughby, as Rowlett and Clutie played but didn't score. Well, the other stats, and get this second half underway, won't be long. We'll be right back here in 90 seconds on the Gateway Sports Network.
Whitaker Bank knows you need banking to be quick and secure with many mobile banking options. Our 24-hour banking offers bill pay, money transfer between accounts, credit card and loan applications, only to name a few. And check out our mobile deposit. Just open the Whitaker Bank app, snap a couple photos, and hit send. App, snap, deposit. It's that simple. Whitaker Bank is uniquely Kentucky. Member FDIC.
The always ready for breakfast deal.
Going to bed already?
Yep. Breakfast at Mickey D's tomorrow.
So?
Sooner I go to bed, sooner it'll be morning. Sooner I'll be at Mickey D's.
This is actually brilliant.
You can come too. Turn out that light.
For a limited time, buy a sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles. Get another for $1. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Valid for product of equal or lesser value.
Available at your Scott Family McDonald's in Mount Sterling.
Tired of all those trips to the pharmacy? With Whitaker Pharmacy's MedSync program, they'll simplify things for you. You'll pick up all your prescriptions once a month. Those who use the program are less likely to miss a dose of their medication. And when you transfer your prescriptions to Whitaker Pharmacy, you'll get a free MedSync pill box. 9-6 weekdays and 9-2 on Saturday. Phone 498-3141. Terms and conditions apply. Whitaker Pharmacy on the Mount Sterling Bypass next to People's Exchange Bank. Both teams shot 41% from the field in the first half. The Indians were 13 of 32, and the Bluebirds were 10 of 24. Indians made 5 of 16 threes. Highlands just 1 of 6 threes. The Indians just 1 of 5 from the line. Highlands got up there 13 times but made only 6 rebounds. Montgomery County 22-21. Highlands had 6 turnovers and 5 turnovers on the Indians.
see what adjustments both teams have made here at halftime to try to make this run these last 16 minutes of regulation.
Dunn is lined up with Vincent's to begin this second half. And here we go. Listerman, or rather Vincent's got it, comes right, hands it off, and the Indians are there. They put some hands on, and the ball's lost out of bounds.
There you go, caught him off kilter. You know, you come out and try to change a look there early on.
They came with a double team.
The double team off of the handoff.
Here comes to Dunn in backcourt. Here is Jarvis. You know, hey, fight fire with fire a little bit. Yeah. Here's Dunn with it. If teams press you, they may not like to be pressed. Same thing the way they're playing defense. Gentry, a three outside, is no good. And the rebound is claimed by Rickard. So Indians are struggling shooting the ball. 5 of 17 from the three-point line. Vincent lines up out on that left wing. Here he goes. Comes off on the right side. Listerman with it. Guarded by Gentry. Listerman into the lane, but can't get free. Now the ball is tipped away, almost lost out of bounds, but recovered by Hicks. Hicks being guarded by the taller Jarvis. They roll through, and there's a ball almost lost. And, hey, Listerman thought it had been lost out of bounds.
Sure.
But they get it back. Listerman has it now, drives on Gentry, goes in, and we get a whistle. And two hands. Oh, we're going to call two hands.
Yeah, that's the second time that official caught it. He caught it on that one down on the baseline earlier. He's saying what?
That's Gentry's third foul.
Yeah.
Here's the inbounds pass, and a shot is missed. And Gentry with a rebound off that that miss under there. Putting it up was Rickard. Or excuse me, that was Hicks that missed it. Indians have it on the offensive end. No score so far in a minute and 15 seconds of this second half. Dunn at dribbling out near the center circle. Now he lets everybody get set. We've been man-to-man in this game all the way, both teams. Dunn down the lane, off to Rally, who gets an open three. That does not go down. And the rebound by Rickard. Rally went a long way time before he got a shot. And down in the lane, there's his shot put up, and good defense by Rally. Rebounded by Fawns off that miss by Rickard. Here's Fawns down. Fawns dribbling in, sends it back out. Jarvis. Jarvis puts it on the deck, goes in, missed his shot. And we get a whistle and a foul. And I don't know who the foul is on, but Jarvis is going to get two shots.
Caught it on Yeltsin, it looks like, maybe.
First foul against Highlands here in the second half, and the free throw rattles out. The Indians are just one of six from the free throw line in this game.
You're going to need these in a game like this.
Yeah, somebody needs to somebody step up there and make two, and then maybe everybody will make them. And Jarvis does make the second one. He's just one of four, though. 10 points for him. 33-27 breaks the scoring barrier. Here is the ball in the hands of Vincent. He gives it up and goes back trying to get the ball, trying to post up down there on Dunn. They come back outside. Rickard drives into the lane, sends it down the corner, almost losing it out as Benson, and then Fawns tips it out of bounds. It'll still be played by Highlands. Rickard. Coach Mays is very verbal over there on the bench. They throw it backcourt to Vincent's, and he'll come on the dribble. Here is a screen. Rally picks him up. They double him. He gives it up. Now down the right side, Rickard drives for the basket, goes in and puts it up and in. Indians are going to take a timeout. 33-29, 5:35 left to play here in the third quarter, and we'll be back in 30 seconds.
Kentucky Petroleum Supply is dedicated to serving the petroleum needs of the Gateway area. Locally owned and operated since 1983. If you need fuel on the farm or on the construction site, call Kentucky Petroleum Supply. If you need a tank, Kentucky Petroleum Supply can handle that too. Mention this ad for special pricing. Kentucky Petroleum Supply. You call, we haul. 744-7778. That's 744-7778. Kentucky Petroleum Supply is a proud supporter of Montgomery County Athletics.
Clutie is into the game for Montgomery County. He comes in replacing Rallet, and Highlands is pressing all over the floor. Comes into Dunn. He'll be guarded by Hicks. done. Bringing it down, crosses the timeline, goes in on the right side. Back to Gentry for a three. That is no good. Big high rebound. And going in there is Vincent, who got up high to pick that one off. And he comes down, wants to go himself. Spins left on Gentry, puts it up, no good. Fawns with a rebound. Fawns brings it down the left side. He's going to try to go for the basket. And again, there was a hand right in his back. But he gives it up. Here's Dunn driving into the lane. Gentry over to Fawns. Fawns dribbles toward the lane. Goes up about 10 feet. Missed his shot. Left it short. Vincent's with the rebound. Quickly down. There's a three left side. No good. Gentry with the rebound off that miss by Hicks. And Gentry's going to take it all the way. Flips it up with the left hand. Good. Dawson was struggling shooting the outside shot. Gets it to go down there. 35-29. 4:40 left to play here. And there's the ball thrown out of bounds. Comes right over. Ivan, they were throwing it to you.
Oh, hey. I need to get up here and get a shot in, I guess, you know. They don't want to see my bricks.
4:37 left. Third quarter of play. Indians with a six-point lead. Dunn coming down. Crosses the timeline. Sends it down to Fawns, drives right side, gets double teamed, goes up anyway, misses it, puts it back up, missed it, puts it back up and in.
Stayed with it to Fawns, boy, but just quality looks and effort there.
37-29. Vincent driving in on Dunn, flips it up, it doesn't go. Vincent gets his own rebound, puts it up, no good. Clutie has the rebound this time. Indians running Dunn down underneath to Jarvis, who lays it in.
Excellent pass. Excellent pass by Dunn there.
39-29 on the board. And there's a three out of the left corner that's no good. The rebound. Rickard gets it, gives it back, and a little flip shot's up and in. Hicks came from the left corner after missing the three. Rickard got the rebound, and Rickard just handed it off to him as he headed back to the basket. 39-31 timeout. Highlands, 3:44 left third quarter. We'll be back in 1 minute.
Get the coverage you need for a fair price at Limestone Agency. We are celebrating 175 years of doing business right here in Mount Sterling. Stop by and see Brenda, Julie, Cheryl, or Ashley to get a quote from Auto Owners Insurance Company. Limestone Agency is proud to have called Mount Sterling home for the past 175 years. Call us today at 498-3410.
Welcome to a place where dreams take flight and futures are forged. At Morehead State University, a real-life approach to learning means you'll dive into real-world projects, gaining hands-on skills that set you apart. Experience belonging to a community that feels like family, with a belief that a quality education should be within reach for everyone. So if you're ready to turn your aspirations into achievements, come join us at Morehead State University. Discover your potential, experience the extraordinary, and soar higher than you ever thought possible. Morehead State University.
Indians had their biggest lead at 10 points, 39-29, now it's 39-31. Try with the ball, and they'll come against full court pressure. Listerman guarding Dunn, trying to keep him from getting the ball, but they get it into Dunn. And now everybody will desert, and Dunn will bring it up against Listerman. Dunn across the timeline. Here is Jarvis at a high post, guarded by Vincent, hands off to Gentry. Gentry bounces into Fawns. He turns, hands it back outside. Gentry 4-3. It's in and out. Just won't go in for him tonight. And the rebound taken by Rickard. Quickly down, right corner. Handling the ball is Hicks. Hands it off. And now into the game is Kirst for the first time. He's a 6'4 senior. Out front, they double-team Vincent, who dribbles down the right corner. Has to give it up. They send it down low, and getting inside and wide open is Listerman, who lays it up and in.
Yeah, they got the ball back over to the opposite side of the floor of Montgomery County. Couldn't adjust his defense out of that trap.
Here's the entry pass coming. They get it to Dunn. 2:50 left, third quarter of play, six-point game. Dunn. Boy, Listerman. Those used to be reach-in fouls. That used to be a foul.
That was a foul right there.
And there's Dunn for three that leaves short. Rebound. Clutie gets it, puts it in.
There you go. Track the ball. Put it in.
41. Big basket by Dane Clutie. 41-33. Vincent goes in. Can't get a shot away. Here is Listerman with it. Out on the three-point line, right wing. Against to Gentry, drives toward the lane. Keeps driving, angles in, and puts it up and in.
And right there, yeah, Dawson had to give a little bit, trying not to risk another foul.
Here's a pass coming into Gentry. Now Jarvis will take it. Jarvis across the line against Vincent's. Jarvis gets it tipped away, but gets it back, goes behind the back, and now we get a foul. And that foul on Listerman is his first. No, it's his second. Team foul number two. I mean, we've had only three fouls in 6 minutes of this third quarter.
One good thing we can say, the action is keep
coming. Oh, boy, it keeps coming. Here is Gentry going to inbound. Gives to Fawns. Fawns looks for the back cut. Now gives to Gentry. And Dawson goes down the lane, hands it right corner to Dunn. He drives in, goes up inside, flips it in.
Like that move by Dunn.
Ethan Dunn.
He went with purpose, Dan, right there.
Back to an 8-point lead, 43-35, minute 40 to go. Vincent's driving. They're trying to double him, and they knocked it away, took it away from him. Clutie gets it. Clutie to Dunn, right side. Clutie drives, gives back. Jarvis, a long three, no good. Long rebound is picked up by Rickard, and then we get a whistle and a foul. That'll be on Jarvis. Frustration foul, I think, by Tice. And now Listerman's going to come back into the game replacing Hicks. Minute 28 to go, third quarter. And each team has only two fouls. So we're not going to get to the free throws this quarter unless it's a shooting foul. Listerman with it right now. High screen. Listerman goes for the bucket, and he puts it in on the left side. He's got three field goals. He's got all of his points here in the second half. 43-37. Indians will try to match. Montgomery County has a possession arrow coming near into the last minute of this third quarter. Dunn rotates left across the key. Gives it off. Clutie comes right and gives to Jarvis. Now back to Dunn. Indians is running a little time. Clock at 56 seconds to go. Here's Jarvis high. Vincent went for the steal, didn't get it. Gentry now down to Clutie. Clutie. One dribble, dumps it, and he threw it away. Turnover, the second. Misread. Thought Fawns was going the other way. Listerman down, and he rolls it up and in with the left hand. He has 8 points after not scoring in the first half, and it's 43-39. Indians have a 2-for-1 right now. See if they can get a basket here late. Listerman guarding Dunn. Dunn driving. Goes down the lane, flips up a little short jumper, no good, gets his own rebound. Got fouled twice trying to come out of there.
We got to call travel here.
And they're going to call foul on who?
They called it on Clutie.
They called it on Clutie. I mean, Dunn was really being
He got hit on the arm. Once he got that offensive rebound, he got hit. And that's what caused him to go to the ground.
16 seconds to go. Are we playing at home tonight, Ivan?
well,
don't expect to get home cooking, but you don't expect to get, a situation where you're just not giving them any calls. Down the lane, Listerman, and he'll go to the line to shoot two. And he should.
So much of the attention was put on Vincent, and they were started trapping and getting the ball out of his hands. Now it's caused Listerman now to get these opportunities because the focus has been on...
He can make it a two-point game. Free throws up, and it rolls in for him.
Yeah, trying to eliminate the effect that Vincent's had on this ball game.
.9 seconds to go here in the quarter. Indians should have the ball to begin the fourth quarter at least. The free throw is up and good. 10 points in this quarter for Listerman. That's the 10 he scored in the game. 43-41. Indians. Now see, he's being done is a player with arms wrapped around him. And there's a shot for three that's an air ball after the Indians turn it over. And the quarter comes to an end, but Montgomery County with a 2-point lead, 43-41. We'll be back in just a minute.
This is Dr. Matt Thompson, Superintendent of Montgomery County Schools, giving every child in Montgomery County an opportunity to receive an excellent education in a safe environment is the goal of our board, administrators, teachers, and staff. It's an awesome responsibility we share. We play a vital role along with parents and guardians, and we understand the significance and the role we play in helping you give your child the best possible chance of a happy and successful future. Let's all do everything we can to achieve success for our students and for our community.
BMC Contracting LLC has been serving the construction industry for over 3 decades from their Mount Sterling location. It all begins with site preparation. When business and industry leaders need a new location, they know to call on BMC so that their worksite location works. They grade and drain, seed and straw. They know how to control erosion to ensure the site meets the company's needs. Their knowledgeable team and the right equipment for the job result in satisfied customers. Put their team to work, BMC, for the right job at the right price. We're just, I'm and I are talking about the officiating, how the game's being called, because I think that's so important in this game. As of now, Highlands has shot 15 free throws in this game, and the Indians have shot 7.
Mm-hmm.
Who's fouled more in this game?
Highlands probably has made more contact. Oh. But also, Montgomery County shot a lot more perimeter shots, too.
Yeah, but even when they go to the basket,
yeah.
They're not...
Yeah, and they're not always going to get them. Yeah, I mean, you're not always going to get them.
You're not always going to get them.
But I'm just saying... You know, part of that story is, and we've said this about Montgomery County, is you're shooting too many jump shots. You know, the name of this game is getting to the basket and taking high percentage shots. But you don't help yourself.
Now you want to take the jump shot out of the game.
No, I'm just saying. Yeah, you've got to be selective when you're taking them, and we're not getting inside touches.
Dunn, the Indians with a 2-point lead. Pons has it right side, wants to drive, sends it back out, and Gentry walked a good call.
I don't want to sit here and say that the officials deserve a blue ribbon for their performance, but I want to say too, it is styles of play right now too.
Here's Vincent. Vincent's going to go for the basket. Jarvis. I mean, and Vincent missed the shot, and I thought he got fouled there.
I was going to say that was a foul that didn't get called.
First, he gets it. Left corner. There's a three up by Vincent that's no good, and Jarvis gets the rebound. Comes down Dunn up from about 15 feet. The shot is no good. And Rickard with the rebound. So nobody can make a shot right now. Here driving the baseline, getting up and underneath all the way. The little Linton Hicks drives under, lays it in. And we had a brand new ball game. Tied at 43. And now Dunn has been called for a push off, folks. And that is utterly ridiculous.
I had my head down. So
Dunn has had two hands on him 15 times tonight and never has gotten a call. And he just got called for a foul for trying to clear out a little bit. Highlands can get the lead, but they turn it over. Indians get the ball. Jarvis. Jarvis comes down. Spins. Loses the ball. Goes back and picks it up. Hands to Clutie. Off to Gentry. Gentry drives in. Top of the key and then hands it back out. 6:54 to go. Here is Dunn with the ball. Being guarded by Gregory out there. Here's Gentry behind the screen. Goes back to Fawns. Fawns inside trying to put it up. And that's an intentional foul right there because he didn't do anything except grab Fawns' arms inside. There's no intent to block the shot or anything else. The foul goes against Rickard, and that is his third. And Fawns will, who has a dozen points tonight, trying to give the Indians a lead back with 6:44 to go. And he puts it in. Listerman's back in. Fawns takes his time. Couple of dribbles. Spins it. Fires it up and it lipped out on him again. Kirst with a rebound. Indians with a 1-point lead, so chance for Highlands to get their first lead in a long time. They led 18-17, and here's Vincent going down the lane, lays it up and in. He got away from everybody that time. 45-44. Here's Dunn against Vincent. Hands it to Jarvis. Jarvis beyond the top of the key, hands off and gives back to Dunn. Gregory's ready to come back in. We got 6:10 to play. Indians had a 10-point lead at 39-29. There's Gentry from 15 feet in. Gentry able to get a little closer shot, knocks it down. Indians go back to the lead. 46-45. Here is Listerman. He wants to drive now, but Dunn's back on him. Gentry is back guarding Benson. Listerman will follow a jumper. Is no good, and Fawns had the rebound. He got fouled by Listerman, who gets his third. And now out of the game is Kirst. Here's, yeah, if you're going to call two hands, you can call on Gregory about any time you want to. Dunn gets by him, goes under, flips it up, no good, but a foul called, and Dunn's going to shoot a couple of shots.
Yeah, Gregory's been the one throughout this game that has kind of taken the point of the defense and kind of initiated that physical play.
Here's Dunn. Two shots. Has 5 points tonight. Boys played hard, though. It has been a grueling game, and the free throw is good. Now, Kirst comes back in, replacing Rickard for Highlands.
I don't remember Ethan coming off the floor. He may have played every minute of the game.
I think he has. He makes a both pair of free throws. 48. 45, Indians. Here's Benson driving down. He goes up, and he puts it up and in. He went to the right side but put it back up and in. He found a way to get it around and made it almost as if he'd driven left. Here's Dunn. Jarvis passed up a shot. Gives it back out to Dunn. We got 5 minutes and 5 seconds to go here. Bonds out high. Looks. Gives to Gentry. Gentry drives, goes all the way, and then sends it to in. Jarvis. Jarvis launches a three that's no good. A long rebound picked up by Fawns, and the Indians still have it. Back out to Dunn. Here is Dunn driving behind a screen and a reach-in foul on Listerman.
You try to jump the high pick right there to get knock that ball free from Dunn. Unable to.
So Listerman gets the foul call. And Listerman with 4 fouls now is going to come out. And into the game is going to be Bolden. Entry pass to Fawns beyond the top of the key. Dumps it over to Jarvis. Drives for the basket. Goes under and pinned it against and gets his own rebound. Sends it back out. Gentry from 14 feet. Good. Well, give Jarvis credit, Ivan, for staying with that one.
Yeah, he almost pinned it in between the backboard and then comes down, makes a great defensive block on the
Jarvis,
other end.
Yeah, getting in the right corner. Bolden thought he was going to get a good look at the three, and Jarvis came down and rejected it out of bounds. Highlands gets the ball. Here's the entry pass to Vincent's. Dunn with him. Vincent's drives. And puts it up, no good. He gets his own rebound, and we get a foul.
Yeah, that was the tough part right there. Rallick came over as the help defender to prevent the first shot, but then they allowed Benson just to go right back up and get his own rebound.
Common foul, so they inbound it with 4:19 to go. Entry pass, they come out deep to Benson's. Dunn guarding him. Benson's. Looks for a screen, he gets it. He drives for the basket, goes in, and Jarvis gets called for the foul, I think. Jarvis is fourth, and now Vincent gets to shoot two. He had 18 first-half points, though, and he's only had four here in this second half. And now he shoots a pair of free throws with 4:09 to go. And the shot is up, and it's good. Now he tries to make it a one-point game. And before he shoots it, timeout is taken. Timeout on the floor, 50-48, Montgomery County. Free throw for Vincent's when we come back in 30 seconds.
Museums are a great way to gain a better perspective and enrich your connection to the past. Morehen invites you to come explore our museums. The Rowan County Veterans Museum is dedicating to honoring our veterans and preserving military artifacts and their history. At the Morehead History and Railroad Museum, you can learn about the railroads that ran through our county, as well as see model trains and vintage artifacts that will spark your curiosity and sense of wonder. Learn more at visitmorehead.com.
Vincent's with now 23 points on the night. He'll be going for point number 24 and trying to make it a one-point game. Ivan, these are the games that that make you. You know, it's
you need this.
You need this.
You
kind
need
of game.
This. You know, you want to try to win in these 1-2 possession ball games.
Vincent's puts it in. It's a grinder, as they say. 50-49. Dunn across the timeline. Gregory with him. Dunn drives in, goes all the way for the basket, flips it up. No good, but he got fouled. Trying to help out was Bolden, and two shots for Dunn.
Love the aggressiveness there. You got to continue to stay aggressive here. You know, you're coming up on the 4-minute mark here in the game, and you've got to continue to be aggressive and get those shots in and around near the basket.
A little moisture on the floor that they're taken care of right now. And
good buddy Tanner out there is doing a good job.
Tanner can do it all.
He is. He's...
Again, you hate it for Decker just sitting on the bench, and we did not expect to see him again. He just took a shot and bleeding heavily from the nose. Dunn puts a free throw in.
I mean, the fact that he hasn't gotten back in the game, Dan, makes me think more of a concussion protocol or cautionary.
Dunn, this one rattles out. And cursed with the rebound. So one of two, and it's 51-49. Indians with the lead. Highlands with the ball. Vincent's has it. It's a screen from Cursed. Wants to drive. They force him to give it up. Throws it over there. And driving in, a little short jumper is up and no good. Rebound is tipped. They get it back. And get it back outside after that miss by Hicks.
And there were three white jerseys there that should have gotten that rebound.
Driving in, Vincent goes up, banks it in, going right down the lane. And we are tied at 51. 3:22 to go. Dunn. Jarvis. They Gentry a long three. That's no good. The rebound is going to go out of bounds.
Yeah, we talk about this sometimes, Dan, off the air. But, you know, you look in the second half, but Luke Fons has gotten four shot attempts. You know, in order for this Montgomery County team to be its best version, Luke Fons has to get more touch, and he has to get more touches in and around that painted area as this game goes along. That's how you're going to wear opponents down with his size.
With the ball is Bolden, and he's having trouble. I don't know. Boy, Gentry playing great defense in backcourt. The ball got knocked out of bounds. They say it was hit by Gentry. 3:06 to go. We were tied back at 10 apiece. I think that's the only tie we've had. Entry pass comes, and Fawns is going to be called for the foul.
Yeah, got caught. He took a poor angle at Bolden right there and then lost the advantage.
He'll be the fourth foul in the Indians, 3:04 to go. So everything will be shot from here on. And here he comes. Vincent goes right down the lane, kicks it left corner. Curse for a three. Good. Oh, wow.
So under control was Vincent and found his guy open in the corner.
54-51. That's the biggest lead they've had. Fawns for a three at the other end. Answers. 54-54. 2:40 to go. There we go. Listerman with those four fouls is back in the game now. Clutie's guarding him. He wants to drive on Clutie, I can tell you. He's going to try. He goes in. Goes up in the lane for about 10 feet. Missed a shot. Rebound. Purse gets it back and lays it up. No good. And Fawns has the rebound.
Very fortunate was Montgomery County again right there. Not finding bodies. Almost cost him.
2:15 to play. 54 apiece. Dunn out in the center circle. Goes high. Jarvis waits. Gentry comes over. He got fouled and no call. I mean, are we ever going to get a foul call? Oh, my goodness. That was right in front of us, folks. I mean, somebody's got a dinner appointment on that one. They got to get to a restaurant. Why would you not call that foul, Allen? Right in front of you. I mean, now we get a foul away from the ball. And Vincent has just picked up his second foul of the game, and Fawns is going to get to shoot a pair of free throws. And Luke has made only one of four. He has 16 points tonight. Takes his time and puts it in.
Number 12, Isaiah Dyer.
Now Rallet is in to replace Clutie. Fawns eyes the second free throw and knocks it down. 18 for Fawns. Indians with a two-point lead. Who do you think will take this shot, Ivan? Vinson, he goes for the basket. He puts it up no good, but he gets fouled.
You've got to, you know, Montgomery County had done a great job, you know, especially that third period of coming and getting the ball out of Vincent's hands. And now, these last couple of possessions, he's gotten the ball back in his hands and he's made positive plays.
Gentry with his fourth foul, and the free throw is good.
He may not be the best player I've seen this this year, Dan, but boy, he sure is one of the more effective players I've seen this year, is Mr. Vincent.
He can tie it, and he does, and he's got 30. And he's got 30, and his team has 56.
Yeah, his total effect on the game has been unbelievable.
Jarvis will bring it down with a minute 40 to play. Well, you got to try to score. Don't want to give Highlands the ball back in a deadlock. Minute 30, Dunn. Another 5-second count. Gentry hands it off to Jarvis. Now Dunn. Dunn moves in on the left side, goes under the basket, circles back out. Now Fawns. Fawns off to Dunn. Dunn drives through and nice. Goes under, lays it up and in.
Nice strong move. He protected the ball all the way through to the completion.
58-56. 1:09 to go. Here's Gregory against Gentry. Dunn guarding Vincent's. Gregory now hands it off to Rickard, long way from the basket. He'll get a time taken by Highlands with 57 seconds left to play. Montgomery County leads 58-56, and we'll be back. See how this one wraps up in 1 minute.
Traditional Bank has put together a local team of lenders with one goal in mind, to serve you better. Whether you're buying your first home, starting a business, or getting ready for the next big thing, we're here to help you realize your financial dreams. We put our customers first and provide sound support to make the lending process as easy as possible. It's why we have so many repeat customers and client referrals. See the difference at Traditional Bank. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
When it comes to senior health care in this area, Windsor Care Center, a part of Regency Care of Mount Sterling, LLC, has gained a reputation over the last half century of providing quality care through caring professionals that treat your family like their family. They offer physical, occupational, and speech therapy programs designed to give your loved one the best quality of life possible. With dedicated personnel in a positive environment, they'll give your loved one the best chance for the best outcome. Windsor Care Center, treating you like family. Don't forget, folks, the rugged, reliable, affordable Workmaster compact tractor now available in 25 horsepower at Montgomery Tractor in Mount Sterling. It's made to last with a big tractor backbone, heavy duty internal components, and a fuel-saving three-cylinder engine. Go see them at Montgomery Tractor Sales, won't you? You'll like the service you get there. Indians are man-to-man defensively, and Dunn is guarding Vincent's.
Gonna watch Vincent on the post.
They posted him up down low. Dunn went for the steal, didn't get it, and Vincent goes up and jams it.
Yeah, you saw that action. He was the screener, and then he just immediately tried to post up Dunn. They got the ball inside.
And we get an immediate timeout with 52 seconds to go. Dunn had, he did what he could do, I think, under there.
Yeah, once you saw their setup, you knew they were going to run some action for Vincent there. And of course, he was the screener initially and immediately just turned on Dunn. Dunn, size-wise, cannot defend that. You know, it'd been one thing if they were bringing Vincent to the ball. He may have could have denied, but he couldn't deny what happened right
no,
there.
He was, in other words, they were one-on-one, folks, down the right side of the basket.
Yeah.
Everybody else is out on the floor.
Yeah.
And so now the Indians will come down. And
now you got to make a play. Yeah. Now, this is where we're going to see. Yeah, we talked about the maturity of this Montgomery County team in these situations.
Here's Dunn with it. Gregory with him. Dunn brings it across the timeline, the clock at 45. Dunn gives over to Fawns. Fawns fires a three, left side that's short, and is picked up by Rickards. And the Indians shoot a three early.
Not anything you needed.
No. And now with 35 seconds to go, here is Gregory working with the ball out front. Gentry with him. Now Benson. Again, they open up the middle, and somebody's got to step in and help. Take a charge. Benson wants to drive.
Timeout, yeah. Right. So they need to call a timeout there.
19 seconds to go.
Here's the other thing about taking that shot this early. The possession arrow is in favor of Holland, so even a tie-up or anything like it, if Holland gets in a bad situation, they're still going to have the ball in that situation. So there was really no advantage for Montgomery County to take that particular shot that early in that possession.
19.3 seconds to go. We're keeping it right here. This is a 30-second timeout. I know we'll be back here Tuesday night, and fans, really, it should be a great doubleheader.
Two great games.
The boys will play first on Tuesday night against Harrison County, and boy, with Custard back, they're playing really well. I mean, I think they got a great, great chance to be a Final Four team in the region.
Yeah.
And then the Lady Indians are going to play a team that handled them easily earlier in the year down in the Lady of the South in Franklin County. And the Lady Indians are playing really well right now. I think we'll see what strides they have made.
Yeah, that will be a very interesting and a telltale sign of where the Lady Indians are. And then you talked about Harrison County. You know, Coach Terrence Brooks was doing a tremendous job with that team prior to Custer coming back in the fold. And since he's back in the fold, you want to talk about point guard play. And he's a scoring point guard type. He's strong, a physical type, but one of the better players in the Tampa region.
Here we go. Kirst is going to inbound. Side front court, looking. Finally is able to get it into Listerman. 17 seconds to go. They come in a double team down the left corner. Kirst launching a three that's good out of the left corner. 9 seconds to go.
He's only had two baskets in this whole game.
He's a 6'4 senior. He didn't play in the first half. And he's hit 2 3-point shots here in this last quarter, and he just gave his team a 61-58 lead with 9.3 to go. And now the Indians have got to come down and an
unlikely hero in this situation potentially for Highlands. But now with 9.3 seconds, and you know you need 3 points, you know, and how do you go about it? You try to get something really quick and try to get another possession. It's going to be kind of hard, you know. So what is your best play, best opportunity you're going to get here for a look for a three for this Montgomery County team?
The one thing you hope it doesn't happen here is that they call a cheap foul on Highlands and the Indians
don't even get a shot at. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the thing you got to be mindful of too. You know, they may risk just going ahead and giving the chance at two free throws, but they're going to try to make them burn a little clock if they can, even before they would attempt to do that, I would think. So
Indians led this game 39-29. That was their biggest lead, but it got pretty quickly cut down. And again, it was a.
That's when Listerman did his thing.
Yeah, Listerman in the third quarter. Listerman had 10 points in the game. Outside of the third quarter, he is 0-for-4 from the field and 0-for-2 from the line. In the third quarter, he was 4-for-4 from the field, 2-of-2. Here we go. Fawns looking to get it in, gets it to Dunn. Hands right back to Fawns. Fawns coming down in the corner. Rallet back out to Dunn. 4 seconds to go. Dunn fires a three. No good. Rebound by Rallet, and the game's over. And the Indians let one slip away tonight as Fort Thomas Highlands gets the victory, 61-58. Don't go away. We'll be back and recap it for you after we step out a couple of minutes. You're on the Gateway Sports Network.
There's a sale every Thursday at the Paris Stockyards. Sales begin at 9 a.m. They receive cattle every Wednesday from 8 a.m. all the way until 9 p.m. And don't forget the state graded sheep and goat sale on the first and third Tuesday of each month beginning at 2 p.m. The Paris Stockyards, they've earned a reputation as area's premier stockyards for treating the customer right, whether buying or selling. It's farmers doing business with farmers. The Paris Stockyards, 1120 Millsburg Road. Give them a call. 987-1977.
Furniture World Superstore stretches your tax refund. With so much in stock, in style, and on sale, you can get the furniture you want now. From sofas, sectionals, and motion furniture to dining sets, bedroom furniture, and the most comfortable mattresses, Furniture World has it all. Refresh, renew, get more with your tax refund. Now at Furniture World Superstore, 356 Pinecrest Drive in Moorhead, and on Maysville Road, Mount Sterling. Closed Sunday. See store for details.
Offering great vehicles at great prices, I'm Chris Davis at Dutchess Chevrolet Ford on the bypass in Mount Sterling.
At Dutchess Chevy Ford, right next to Walmart on the bypass in Mount Sterling.
And on the web at DutchessAuto.com.
If time is really money, why not let Clark's Pump and Shop help save you both? Every Clark's Pump and Shop is designed for convenience. If you're in a terrible hurry, just pay at the pump and get right back on the road. And if you're having a snack attack, come in for hot coffee, cold drinks, and snack items to satisfy your craving. Try the mobile app or website for exclusive deals and loyalty rewards. Clark's Pump and Shop, Moorhead, Winchester, Flemingsburg, West Liberty, and Vanceburg. Return, refresh, refuel. Clark's Pump and Shop.
Nathan Kirst, a three-point shot out of the left corner. The senior who, again, did not play in the first half. And in the second half was kind of in and out. And he hit two threes and had four rebounds, 6 points, and four boards in the last quarter. And he's the hero tonight, although Nathan Vincent's put on a pretty good show with 32 points tonight for the Bluebirds.
The Bluebirds came here without Mavis, one of the outstanding players in this ball game, and to have Vincent to have the game that he was able to display tonight, it was phenomenal. Like I said, he may not be the best player, one of the extremely best players I've seen, just talent wise, but boy, what it required of him here tonight. Well, it was something special. It was something to behold because he's a type of player. He's physical. He's adept with handling the basketball. He makes good decisions with the ball. He's always under control. And I thought even when, Montgomery County came and they were trapping, getting the ball at his hands, he still was making good decisions with the ball. They didn't turn him over much. And, for him to be able to play that way, I thought was tremendous for this Bluebird team tonight, and then it allowed Listerman to be able to take advantage of it. He commanded that attention, and that's the thing. When we talk about Montgomery County, just the consistency on the offensive end is knowing where they want to go with the ball, and when somebody draws those defenders, then are you making yourself available to get easy opportunities? We saw that out of Hollins at times in their offense when they took their main person out of the equation from a standpoint of scoring. So it was really tough. But this was a moment, that you've got to try to learn from again. You've been in that moment. Now you got to push through that curtain or, be able to overcome any situations.
Yeah. Former Lady Indian player, Lake Williamson, was here, right?
I didn't realize it was her until she turned away. And I was like, oh, it was Lake. I used to see her on campus all the time over at UK on my way to the office.
Hey. And let's check the individual scoring real quick for Highlands. Nathan Vincent, 32 points, and did not score in the third quarter, but he had 32. 10 for Vinny Listerman, and he had all 10 of those in the third quarter. They were in double figures. Lincoln Hicks with 9, 6 for Kirst, 4 for Nathan Rickard, and 2 points for Bolden as Yelton and Ebert and Gregory played but did not score. For Montgomery County, 18 tonight for Luke Fawns, and he got 16 of those in quarters 2 and 4, Ivan, and 0 for 3 in the first quarter, 1 of 4 in the third quarter. Again, he's a sophomore.
Yeah.
He's still, he's going to get stronger, and but right now, he's a player who is, in my opinion, he's an all-state player every game in a quarter or two quarters, and occasionally this year three quarters.
Yeah.
And we're looking forward.
It's frustrating for those of us that we want him to be something. You know what I'm saying? And some players, it comes sooner than you expect. Some, it's right on time. You know, it's just, you know, I think that's the, you know, when it sounds like we may be frustrated at times because of this, you know, everybody has their own journey, you know, and we want it now. You know, we're so selfish. We want everything right now, and I'm sure nobody wants it more for Luke than Luke himself and his coaching staff and his teammates. But it's like when you came into this season, especially when I saw Luke for the first time coming out of the off season, I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
Okay. Physically, it looks like, because I think that was the question prior. Physically, was he ready to give that type of effort at the varsity level? It looks like physically he's there, but it's like, man, you know, he came down. You know, we talked about the time when Vincent went right at him and dunked and, you know, got them. He came right back down. He commanded the ball. You know, that's what you want out of your stars. You want them to command the ball in a situation where they can then go back. And he went right back at him. You know, he went right back at him at the rim. And then you didn't see much of that the remainder of the way, where it's like, hey, give me the ball, you know. And that's not being selfish when you're saying it. You're saying, give me the ball, because Luke has the ability to make shots anywhere on the floor. He's adept enough with offensive awareness to make the right decision to get the ball to a person that can make a play. But it really needs, this team needs to, I think, understand it needs to flow through him a lot more. And then he needs to understand that, hey, it's not being selfish to command the ball to make my team better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can always pass it back out.
Yeah.
Hey, the Indians, after Fawns with 18, a dozen for Tyce Jarvis. He actually got seven of those 12 in the first quarter. 10 for Ethan Dunn. And I thought Ethan Dunn played maybe the best game he's played all year.
Yeah.
He was good from start to finish, I thought. And then you had Dawson Gentry, 9 points. Dawson played well, just couldn't find the three ball. He was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Only 1 of 8 from three tonight. If he's a 37% shooter tonight from three, the Indians have a three-point win. But you can't do that. 2 points or 5 points for Brecken Decker. And, again, if Decker doesn't go out with the injury, we might have had a different game.
Yeah.
2 for Clutie. 2 for Willoughby. Those guys played well off the bench. And Isaiah Rowlett only got one shot and missed it. This was a game where the defense, they weren't going to let Rowlett get a shot.
No. And it's tough for him. And I know, you know, a lot of the reason why, you know, Isaiah didn't get a lot of minutes here tonight and he lost some minutes last night was he's got to be a little bit more effective on the rebounds. You know, and I think that against a team like this, it'll kill you because you're giving them extra opportunities, you know, on the offensive glass, and you know, you're not giving yourself a chance on the defensive side of things a lot of times by not going and searching people out. He has length, but you know, he doesn't have that big strong build being a freshman right now, and so he actually has to go and engage people. You know, as I was talking to Sophie Fouch one time, talking about how she's always able to get to these rebounds and stuff. She said, I realize I'm usually smaller than the person I'm going against a lot of times. I've got to go and engage them.
No, she's always smaller than the person.
That's what I'm saying. But that was her. She recognizes where her limitation is and how she has to be effective. And I don't think sometimes players realize that. You know, they think, oh, I can get to that ball. Well, there's somebody on the other side that's trying to get to that ball, too. And the way that you can hopefully ensure that they don't get to it is by going and boxing them out and being fundamentally sound in that regard. So, you know, that's a lesson you can always learn from watching other players play that are, you know, in those situations. But, you know, to hear her say that as a freshman getting a lot of varsity minutes for the Lady Indians, she understands that's what I've got to do to be effective in this game at that particular discipline.
Indians made they made 22 of 57 shots tonight. That's 39%. They shot 41% in the first half. Highland shot 41% in the first half. They end up at 45% overall, 24 of 52. And the Indians, 6 of 26 from three-point land. Highlands 3 of 11. Two of those were in the last quarter.
Yeah.
And Kirst made them. Wow. From the free throw line, Indians made just 8 of 15. 12 of 19 for Highlands. Highlands with a rebound advantage, 40 to 37. But 11 turnovers on Highlands, only 9 turnovers on the Indians tonight. And Coach Jason Mays has joined us now. And, boy, Coach, does it ever get to the point where you say, wow, why am I doing this? I mean, do you ever think, gosh, isn't this a struggle sometimes when you go through? I mean, this was a tough loss, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we just, I mean, they got two starters out. I mean, I know we're beat up. You know, we're having to, you know, change the way we play because, you know, Brecken's out. Tice is immobile. But they got two starters out, too. So those excuses negate each other. Matter of fact, we still had the advantage because our kids actually dressed and played tonight. Theirs didn't. The difference is they are a senior Latin team. They start 4 seniors. And they bring 3 more off the bench. And I told them at half pregame and halftime, at the start of third quarter, that they're mature. They've been playing together longer than you guys have. They're going to grind us out. They're not going to hurt themselves. Your energy level is not what it needs to be to win this game. And truthfully, our maturity level isn't what it needs to be to win that game. And that's exactly the way it played out. I mean, we didn't do a good job coaching tonight. You know, we should have saw some things coming out of timeouts with their alignments. And, you know, I mean, you put a 19-page scout report together, spend time working on film, you got to pay attention to things. And we didn't do a good job of that tonight.
Had what you watched led you to believe that Vincent's would have any kind of game like he had tonight? I mean,
look, they shoot the you-know-what out of it. So I was going to take 2s over 3s. All right? It's the second time that's not worked out for me against Highlands. But, you know, he had 30 tonight. And I don't like the way the game was called either. Like, you know, he's forcing contact. And, you know, he's 50-50 on the contact on the way to the rim. I mean, it's big boy basketball. He's a senior. You know, make him finish with some contact, especially if he initiates it. But, I mean, it was 2 fouls here. I think there were 4 foul calls where he said 2 hands. I mean, really? I mean, I just didn't like the way it was called, but that, you know, they're good. That's a good crew, you know, but they were consistent calling it that way. You know, I just didn't. We haven't had many games where that's been the case. I wish it was a little bit more consistent. And so that caused this with different matchups. I think everybody had their shot at him. Nobody could guard him one-on-one. So then 24 was in the game, and he's not playing much. He's 2 of 15 from 3 on the year. So I tell Tice, I said, Tice, we're putting you on him because Tice is not very mobile, and that guy's not mobile either. So I said, we're coming off him, and you're going to plug the lane and help whoever's guarding Vincent on his penetration. And what's the guy do? He goes 2 of 2 from 3, you know. Kudos to him. You know, that's what seniors do. They rise to the moment.
They celebrated him, and they should have. I mean, you could tell that was a moment, maybe of a season for that young man.
Yeah. So, but that's what competitors do. You know, I mean, and we had some key players that didn't make. I don't think we had some key players that wanted the ball tonight in tight moments. To be honest with you, and that's telling. I was surprised by a few guys tonight.
I thought Ethan Dunn had maybe his best game of the year, personally, Coach.
I don't think he played bad. I'm very critical of Ethan. I am very critical of Ethan because for him to become a point guard, he's not one yet, but for him to become a point guard, I just have to stay on him, you know. I mean, there'll be a day where I'm not so critical of him, but the first half, he had 3 shooting turnovers where you have a bad shot that's easy to rebound. It's just the same as a turnover. Like, we have an empty possession. No one has a chance to get the rebound. 2 of them were air ball. One of them hit the side of the backboard. One of them was an air ball from 9 feet. And that's a turnover. That's a shooting turnover, okay? So I addressed it at halftime. I thought second half he did much better of sort of facilitating. But, like, I never had any rhythm. Like, I felt prepared for this game. Like, we grinded on this game. And but once the game started, I never had a peaceful moment because I thought our energy level was low. And I never had any offensive play calling rhythm because I just thought E was sort of on another plateau than where I was mentally. You know, there were two plays we called where we've ran a play since October. He goes wrong side of the floor. Now, people in the stands don't see that, but that's what he did. Like, what are you doing? You know, it's February 10th. You're on the wrong side of the floor to play, but you can run blindfolded.
Well, I'll make a comment that you can't make or you don't want to make. If I got a hand in my back pushing me, I might go to the wrong side of the floor, too. I might be guided to the wrong place. And I'll let you know. If everybody's going to play hands-on defense, let's just let it be known. It's like they've done away with with 3 seconds in the lane. Well, just forget about it. Take it out of the rule book, it is. But I thought hands-on took Ethan places where he didn't want to go tonight, but he didn't have any choice but to go there because
they were
defending him.
That's what a point guard's got to take contact and make it work against the defender.
Oh,
you know, he's got to change direction. He's got to cross the street, which we call going from the right side of the floor in transition when somebody's guarding you one-on-one to the left side of the floor. You got to, you know, that creates angles for you to make, you know, if they're going to press you like that, then take that and make it work against them and get downhill. He's doing good. Like, I'm proud of Ethan. You know, he was in here working for 2 hours today, you know, by himself. So, it's just, I don't know. I thought Doss played hard. Couldn't play Breck in the second half. I think he got a broke nose. That kid needs a break. And here's why I played Brecken. You know, I could have thrown this game away and not played him or Tice. But Tice needs to toughen up. And he needs to see that he could have played on that ankle, which he did. Okay? Didn't play great, but he played. So hopefully he learned now, okay, I know my threshold of pain is a little bit too low. I've got more to give when I get hurt. Second reason I played those two guys tonight is because we had a good win last night. We had a chance to win a game that was undermanned, win a game against a team that was undermanned tonight, that was on the road, that also played last night. We had all the advantages for this win, all the advantages. Kevin didn't have any advantages. Their kids had to drive down here separately with their families. I mean, they had everything working against them, okay? Leading scorers out, third leading scorers out, everything working against them. And I thought we needed this win, and by playing those guys, it would give us some positive momentum to build on yesterday. And I thought, from a team psyche standpoint, that was very important to us going into Harrison and Bergen. So that's why I played him. If I didn't play him, I was scared that we were going to have the outcome that we had. A loss and then a dejected locker room who they're all saying, wow, we gave one away in the fourth quarter again. Okay? That's what I was trying to avoid. So coaches don't always get it right. I got that one wrong. I think maybe I should have sat both of those kids and roll with Matthew and Dane and roll our dice. You know,
did you ever think about playing zone tonight?
No, because they shoot it too well. I mean, look, this is the fifth time I've played those guys. I mean, they've got Vincent had 42 last night. He had 30 tonight. He had 72 in the last 2 days. Even those role players that were coming off the bench, I mean, they're all either worse is a 36% shooter from three, and there's one that's 45% shooter from three. The worst shooter on the floor is the one that went 2 for 2. You know, number 24. So, no, I mean, and I kept asking the assistants, you know, should I go zone? And but it was unanimous. No, no, no. And again, maybe we got it wrong. Maybe we should have went zone just to hope they miss. But that's why I don't like playing zone, because I don't like playing hope defense, you know. But, you know, he would have gotten in the middle of our zone.
I got to say this to you. I don't even know you well enough. I mean, this is our first year together. I wanted to say, the whole defense, you're playing whole defense because you had to hope somebody could stop Benson's.
Well,
that's
the thing.
That's a joke.
We would have had too many gaps. And, you know, he was going to get in those gaps. Maybe I should have. You know, I mean, it's not that we didn't think about it or talk about it during the game. But maybe I should have because we couldn't move very well. Maybe I should have because we were flat. Okay, we're flat, so you're going to go zone. Well, good luck getting energy guy trying to go zone because you're flat. That doesn't work, you know. Very disappointed tonight. Disappointed in myself, our staff, and our players. You know, nobody showed up today.
6 of 26 threes tonight, Coach.
That's what we were. I thought E had a few bad ones. I mean, Luke's airball at the end. I mean, that play was wide open. I knew they were going to suck in on that drive, and we ghosted him. And I was like, and I told him, I said, "You got one in?" He said, "Yes, sir." And I said, "All right, this is going to be open. So either hit it or drive and get to the rim, get fouled." I mean, I don't think Luke's airballed a shot this year. You know? And then I gave it to him again there late off four fly, which is a press break going downhill. Got exactly what we wanted. And he gives it to Ike in a corner. Like, what? You're going to the rim on this play and getting fouled. And going to make a free throw to tie it and put it in overtime. Well, that's exactly what the plan was. And he had the downhill momentum. You giving it to Ike? What's Ike going to do? Guard it in the corner. All he could do was give it to Dawson. He gave it to E, who airballed a three at the buzzer. I mean, you know, I mean, I don't know. You know, as coaches, we take players' failures as personal. We take them personally. And we're wrong when we do that. It's because we're emotional after losses. We also take players doing really good things, like last night, and we expect too much out of players because of that. Why? Because we're emotional. So, you know, I need to watch the tape, and, you know, I'll probably see that, you know, I mean, I was trying to give Luke the ball. I mean, I told Brent, I said, "Here's the play sheet. I don't feel I have any rhythm. Don't give me a suggestion where Luke doesn't touch the ball." It's exactly what I told him. Third quarter. You know, that's who needed to get the ball.
The good.
Not much.
Turnovers. I say this every game. You had 9, they had 11. I mean, 9 turnovers against the defense you were playing, I thought it was pretty good.
Okay, so you're right, but look at the assists on field goals. I bet you that is very, very low. So those offset each other. We have low turnovers, but our assist number on made shots is low. So here we are thinking we're going to win games against a senior Latin team creating our own shots. And that's what I told E before halftime after he took some bad shots, what I call shooting turnovers. That's like, E, no offense, you're not good enough to create your own scores on these guys. Guess what? Nobody on our team is. You know? And so that's why I need you and me to be on the same page so I can orchestrate the screening action so we can manufacture some offense. That's what we did last night. It was against the zone, but it was all organized actions, you know. And then just tonight, I mean, the best thing I had was ball screen. But outside that, we couldn't execute jack. I mean, jack.
Well, you got Harrison County coming here Tuesday night. You're going to play a 6 o'clock game. And Harrison's pretty good, Coach.
You know what Harrison is? They're tougher. They're tougher.
You're tougher.
We're not.
We're tougher than we were.
Well, that's like saying you're tougher than Gumby.
Coach Jason Mays, our guest after the game. And Coach, I don't know what's what do you do after a game like this? Will you sleep good?
No. I mean, yeah, I don't have problems sleeping. I don't. I think it happens with age. But I don't know. We have such good kids. But just because you live your life the right way doesn't mean you know how to compete or win basketball games in tight moments. And, okay, so that's an excuse we have in October, November, or, okay, even maybe early January. Guys, we got to quit using that excuse. We don't know how to win games. We don't know how to close out games. We're scared of success. We have imposter syndrome where we try to act like we're more successful than what we actually are. We've been saying this since Greenup County. first game of the year. Been saying it since getting smacked by 20 at E-Town. You know, we can't use those excuses anymore. Anybody that was a sophomore at the beginning of the season now is pretty much a junior. Anybody that was a freshman at the beginning of the season now is pretty much a sophomore. You know, I mean, Brecken's got less than 70 days before he's a high school graduate. I mean, you can't use that excuse anymore. Like, you either man up and compete and impose your will on somebody defensively to get a stop, which leads to your offense. You man up and you want the ball in tight situations and make plays, get fouled, or you lose. You know? And so, do I have faith in our kids? Yes, because they got great families, they're raised right, and they have high character. I have yet to see where those characteristics don't pan out for the positive. Okay? But it's just a matter of there's two ways to spell win. I-N and H-E-N, right? W-I-N, W-H-E-N. You know, and I wish we had the I-N before the W-H-E-N.
Coach, we'll get there. Maybe it'll be Tuesday night. Well, we'll hope our best, the best for Brecken Decker, and that he's able to come back and be with you. And we'll look forward to Tuesday night. Always do. I look forward to these conversations. It's, you know, you're Dr. Phil, and I'm a guest on your show. And no.
I need Dr. Phil. Dr. Phil. He's still got a show, Dr. Phil.
Oh, you better believe it. Yeah, yeah. You want to be on? We'll see if we can get you there.
No.
I don't think he'd talk basketball, but hey, it's still been a good weekend, with the exception of Brecken Decker's nose injury tonight. Other than that, that's the worst thing that's happened in my mind, even more so than a three-point loss to Fort Thomas Highlands. Enjoy tomorrow, and we'll talk to you Tuesday, okay?
Thanks, Dan.
Hey, thank you so much. Jason Mays, Montgomery County head coach, and the Indians again lose a heartbreaker tonight, 61-58 to Fort Thomas Highlands, and they'll be back in action on Tuesday, and we will be right here as the Indians take on the Breads of Harrison County. 6 o'clock to start. Lady Indians play right after that against Franklin County, and hope you'll be in the arena. Come out. And if you can't, join us on 1150 and 106.9 or WMSTradio.com. Thanks to Jeff West on studio control. Ivan Rawls, I'm Dan Manley. Again, Highland 61, Montgomery County 58. Till Tuesday night, so long, everybody.
You've been listening to Montgomery County High School Basketball on 106.9 FM, 1150 AM, and WMSTRadio.com. Tonight's game was sponsored by BMC Contracting, City Cartage Company, Clark's Pump and Shop, Downtown Athletic Club, Dutch's Chevy Ford, The Family Wealth Group, Furniture World Superstore, Gateway Cycles, Hoffman Robertson Incorporated, Kentucky Petroleum Supply, Major Brands Tire and Automotive Center, your Scott Family McDonald's, Montgomery County Board of Education, Montgomery Tractor Sales, Moorhead Tourism, MSU Foundation, Harris Stockyards, People's Exchange Bank, Porter Group Insurance, Sterling Family Dental Care, Sterling Healthcare, Traditional Bank, Whitaker Pharmacy, Whitaker Bank Mount Sterling, and Windsor Care Center. Tune in all season long for Montgomery County High School Basketball on 106.9 FM, 1150 AM, and WMSTRadio.com.
You're an angel to me. Johnny Angel, how I love him. He's got something.